Hey guys, we are back here on Hoops Hype, and today, like I promised, I have a special guest here to predict the 2020 NBA playoffs. Say hello, Dad.
What's up, guys? All right, hope you're all hyped like my son Canton is here.
All right, so we're gonna talk about the playoff picture for the 2020 NBA playoffs. We did our own playoff brackets, but first we're going to start off saying our seeds and why we chose them. All right, pick eight. I said the Miami Heat. He said the Atlanta Hawks. Why did you choose the Hawks?
Well, I felt like the Hawks made some moves in the offseason to get better, obviously, in the draft. I feel like they already had some good veteran presences there that really helped them be better towards the end of the second part of the season. And Trae Young really started to come into his own at the second half of the season.
Yeah, so the second
those
half.
Changes may make a difference for them.
Yeah, I think the second that I wanted to put them in, but the East, I mean, there's a lot of teams in the East. You never know. But I did see what they were doing. I think they're going to be on the outside looking in. But I think the Heat, because of their offseason, I think the Heat have to do something else to get higher up in the playoffs instead of anywhere other than this outside looking in, because they've been that way for about 3 years or so now. But the Heat with Goran Dragic, Jimmy Butler, which was a great addition this offseason, their new rookie Tyler Hero, Dion Waiters. I just think they're a decent team. They're a solid team, but they're never going to be up here unless they go into a rebuild. Because unless the Heat want to be the team on the outside of the playoffs, just consistently making it or being slightly outside of it every year, consistently doing that, unless they just want to do that for the entire – for every year of their franchise, then I suggest that they go into a rebuild. But for now, I do think that they're going to make the playoffs this year. All right, seventh seed. I said Raptors, you said Magic. And why do you think the Magic?
Well, I think the Magic surprised a lot of people last year by having the kind of year that they had. I think they've got some young players who started to step up. And I think, you know, they're one of those teams that they could very easily move up to six, maybe even fifth as the top of their ceiling if they play exceptionally well. Or you could find them way outside looking in, somewhere down around 10th or 11th if things fall apart and they trade some guys at the deadline. But I feel like they have a good young core and they're moving in the right direction and there's some excitement going into the season for them. And, you know, I thought a little bit about having the Pistons in this spot, but I feel like youth and enthusiasm takes over here for the Magic as opposed to the Pistons.
Yeah, I do like the Magic, but they are not in my bracket. I mean, not in my playoff picture. I said the Raptors because I don't think the Raptors are the same team anymore. I mean, after the huge season that Kawhi had, I do think that they're a solid team, but they don't have that kind of core that they had with Kawhi. Just the team doesn't sound as good. And yes, it's solid, but these players that they have, this team used to be a team that looked like one of the best teams in the East. But since Marc Gasol and Kyle Lowry are far from their prime, they're going to have to rely on guys like Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby. But I don't think I don't think they're just there yet. I mean, Pascal Siakam is coming into his prime, but I don't think they're there yet. And they very well could be one of the top seeds in the East in a couple of years if they get some pickups other than their veteran presence that they have. So the next seed is the sixth seed. I said the Nets. You said the Pacers. Why did you pick the Pacers?
Well, the Pacers are a bit of an enigma. The thing that's interesting about the Pacers is they got off to a great start. Victor Oladipo playing so well, then he goes down and it's a different team. the real big question mark is and I, just like the Magic, these guys could, in my opinion, could be totally out of the playoff picture if Oladipo doesn't come back healthy and doesn't play the way he was at the beginning of last season. They could be a total bomb. But I'm going with the fact that he's going to come back healthy early enough in the season that, you know, they may pick up some pieces at the trading deadline and be a little bit better team than, say, the Magic, the Hawks, or the Pistons, who could all be jostling for a same sort of seeding.
I'm the Nets. The reason why I went with them as late as the sixth seed is because Kyrie Irving and D'Angelo Russell. I mean, think about the problems that Kyrie Irving caused in Boston. He caused an entire chemistry flop, and that basically ruined the progression from Jaylen Brown to the next season and Jason Tatum to the next season because they didn't look like they got any better, and players like Jaylen Brown regressed. But I think this new team, the Nets, I think maybe he'll do something different, but I don't want to take any chances on putting them on a fifth seed or a fourth seed just because of the fact that I don't completely trust Kyrie Irving as a leader just yet. So for the fifth seed, I said the Pistons. You said the Celtics. Why did you say the Celtics?
So the Celtics are an interesting team because you had, you know, the Kyrie drama. You've got some good young players there that may be given the opportunity, as you mentioned, to kind of forge their own name for them. Maybe a healthy Gordon Hayward, things like that are going to make a difference. You don't know how much an Al Horford going to the Sixers is going to impact because he was a solid veteran, big guy who you could count on for, you know, 17, 18 points, 15 rebounds. That's just a ballpark figure. But they're an interesting team too because you're making the assumption that some of these guys are going to fill the gaps that are left by Kyrie moving on. And you just, it's a big unknown.
And I'm going to go, I went the Pistons just because of the, I know the Pistons were an eighth seed last year. And I think this addition of Derrick Rose was one of the most underrated signings in the entire NBA offseason. I think that, I mean, the Pistons have a solid team, right? They've got Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond. I just think Blake Griffin is going to go together really well with Derrick Rose because Derrick Rose is a 20.6 assist threat, and Blake Griffin is going to grab 12 rebounds and score 20 points, you know what I mean? So I think those two guys combining together, plus Andre Drummond, who's always been tenacious on the boards and has scored a lot more points than he has usually scored recently. I just think that those three players are going to help them to the fifth seed because there's no other teams that really look like they have that they'll be able to stop them. And I think the Pistons are the most underrated team that anybody has been put on any power rankings, honestly. So for the fourth seed, you said the Nets, I said the Pacers. Why did you say the Nets?
So, you know, there's a lot of buzz about the Nets, and it's not usual for the Nets to get a lot of buzz, but obviously their signings in the offseason has generated a lot of interest both inside the New York market and outside. I just think they already had a good young core, and, you know, they just didn't have that guy, the guy that they could count on scoring big points and, you know, matching up defensively against
D'Angelo Russell.
But he's gone, and D'Angelo Russell, he didn't have the it that Kyrie Irving had, in my opinion. And yes, we've seen some things with Kyrie Irving, but I think on the whole, you're going to get more night in, night out from Kyrie, and I feel like he'll push the Nets over the top in terms of where they sit in the pecking order of the East this season.
That's a good point, but I'm going to go to the Pacers because – I know that they lost Thaddeus Young Bojan Bogdanović. But they got one of the most underrated players in the NBA, Malcolm Brogdon, who's yet to take that next step in his young NBA career. Who knows? He's the last two seasons he's been in that 50-40-90 club, 50% from the field, 40% from three, and 90% from the free throw line. So he brings you efficiency, and I think he's going to get more opportunities in Indiana, especially while Victor Oladipo is gone, and I can definitely see him putting up 20. And, of course, there's Victor Oladipo. And I also, Malcolm Brogdon, he might be a shooting guard, same position as Oladipo, but he also played a little bit of point guard before Eric Bledsoe came. So I think that Malcolm Brogdon has flexibility. He brings you efficiency, and that's what the Pacers have. They're a tenacious team defensively. They've still got Miles Turner. They've still got Victor Oladipo. And I still think that they're the tenacious team that they were last season. And moving on to the third seed. I said the Celtics. And for your third seed, you said the Sixers.
So, the Sixers, I think, if you look at the lineup for the Sixers and you look at the rest of the East, they clearly had a lot of depth. They have a lot of the same veteran pieces that they had last year. You add a new veteran piece in Al Horford, who's been an all-star, and he's been there for some solid teams over the years in the past, both for the Celtics and for the Hawks. I just feel like it's an addition by subtraction. I know what Jimmy Butler did for them in terms of scoring and maybe even some of the swagger and toughness, but he didn't unify that team. He didn't take it to the next level like they wanted to. They battled just to knock off the Nets. And I just feel like, an Al Horford is a much better addition than to compensate for losing Jimmy Butler. Some people would say, well, Jimmy Butler, that's a big, he's a core piece. He's a lead dog. He's a top player. And he is a good player, but he brings some other stuff with him, as we saw with the Wolves, that not everybody necessarily wants to account for. It's some of the same sort of stuff you were talking about with Kyrie, sort of the drama and that sort of thing. And so I don't know. I've never been a huge Jimmy Butler guy. I understand what he can do on the floor, but I also understand what he can do off the floor, and it can be a real distraction.
Yeah, I agree. And Al Horford is just the kind of guy that it doesn't ever show up on the stat sheet. He puts up 14-5 on the season, and the impact comes on the defensive end, and it's like Al Horford putting up 14-5 is like another guy putting up 22-10 because of the toughness he brings to the defensive end and the intangibles he has. So I agree with that, and that's why I put the Sixers higher. But right now I'm talking about the Celtics. And for the Celtics last season was a mess. They were supposed to be the top team in the East, and they were the fourth seed. They only won 49 games. And while 49 games is good, it's terrible when you talk about a team that was expected to be the top seed of the East. Because if 49 wins brought you to the top seed of the East, Eastern Conference would be terrible. So I think that the expectations were not met even at all because of the chemistry issues Kyrie Irving brought. And the fact that he expected all the younger players to bow down to him and give him the ball and let him take the lead, and then they can be the following pieces. But that's not what a leader does. A leader shares the ball. And so now I think Kemba Walker, I think he's just a much better kind of person when you think about in terms of leadership. I know it was Kemba's team and it might end up happening, but I just don't see that happening with the kind of player Kemba was for his team, because he never said that to Malik Monk or Miles Bridges. He let them get the ball and take their shots. And now I think the same thing's going to happen with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, because those two guys alone, their skill sets are incredible, and they have the potential to be all-stars in this league. But they have to develop, and they can't not get the ball, because you never end up into an all-star if you just bow down to the best player on your team. So that's why I said the Celtics at 3 instead of what you said at 5, and I put them way ahead of the Nets for chemistry reasons. Okay, so the next one is, you said one that really surprised me, the Raptors at 2, and I said the Bucks. Why did you pick the Raptors?
Well, let's think about a little bit of history here. And, you know, it's easy to forget that the before Kawhi Leonard era for the Raptors saw the Raptors in the top tier of the East for a long time. Now, did you have a DeMar DeRozan as the second fiddle to Kyle Lowry, or as a pair to Kyle Lowry? Yeah, you absolutely did. But the thing of it is that, you know, DeRozan isn't that kind of player anymore. But you have these developing stars like Siakam, and I think you're going to see that he can very much fill that same role that you saw with DeMar DeRozan in terms of being the second guy on that team. And I think, you know, the experience of Gasol, and you know, he's still got something in the tank, and yeah, maybe he might be a more of a pass first rebounding kind of center nowadays, but you just don't know. There's a lot of veteran presence on that team. I think obviously you saw the difference in the coaching made in terms of making it to the next level. I think we're jumping off the ship real soon if we think that Kawhi was the whole team there. Are they going to win an NBA title? Absolutely not. Are they going to be an elite team in the East? I think absolutely yes.
Okay, so I said the Bucks at number 2, and here's why. The Bucks have the it factor. Giannis Antetokounmpo, I think he's got the ability to take that next step, all right? He needs to, but I mean, he's a good player, but he's one-dimensional, you know what I mean? He's a drive-to-the-hoop kind of guy on the offensive end. He can pass, he can rebound, but I think this year, he's going to surprise everybody and develop a jump shot. I think if he develops that, which I think he will, the Bucks will be incredible. The only reason why I'm putting them at number 2 behind the Sixers is because of the great Sixers team that they have and the fact that they lost Malcolm Brogdon, one of the most efficient parts to their team. So, and also they lost Nikola Mirotic, and he was quietly a big part to that team. So that's why I put them at number 2 and not number 1. Here are our number 1 picks. He said the Bucks. I said the Sixers. Why did you say the Bucks?
So, you know, the Bucks were one shot away, right? You know, they were right there neck and neck with the Raptors. We saw how that ended, and I think, obviously, having to watch the Raptors go on to win an NBA title is certainly going to motivate that team. I know they had some guys that left, but I think you saw an improvement in Eric Bledsoe shooting from the outside in the playoffs, and I think you have some pretty amazing depth on that team in terms of who else is coming off the bench. I just feel like they're deeper than the Raptors. They may not be more talented than the Sixers, but they've got Antetokounmpo, and that's, you know, that says a lot about a lot of teams in the NBA is, do they have that guy? And Giannis is definitely that guy. And so I think in the Eastern Conference, which has a lot of teams that are far from perfect and have a lot of flaws, I think that allows you to rise to the top and will be the difference maker for the Bucks.
So I said the Sixers because they've got every piece, all right? I've seen tape from Ben Simmons. He looks like he's developed a slight jump shot. And while that translates to the NBA from 5-on-5 games, I don't know. But my guess is he at least develops a respectable 29% from deep. You know what I mean? Like, I think Ben Simmons will at least, you know, maybe average 0.7 per game or something like that. I don't think he'll ever be a good shooter, all right? But he'll be a respectable shooter. He won't be the guy who you can give 20 feet of space, all right? I think you'll have to be up out on them a little bit at least. And I think that's going to help them with the spacing. They've got Josh Richardson. He's a good inside-outside threat. They've got Tobias Harris, great shooter. They've got Al Horford, who, like I said, it's like a guy putting up 14 and 5, it's like a guy putting up 22 and 10 because of the intangibles he has and the way and the intensity that he brings. And, of course, Joel Embiid, who I think the only thing is that for them to get deep, he has to develop leadership, all right? He just needs to develop a little bit more leadership, and then he'll be able to take the team to the finals, all right? So those are our picks for the East, and now we're going to move on to the West.
Well, I think...
But anyways, guys, thank you. I think we're going to end the podcast here, all right? We discussed a little bit. We figured that we'd rather we wouldn't want to bore you guys with two years of an episode with the whole Eastern Conference and the whole Western Conference, but we'll do another one tomorrow night. But anyways, thank you so much for listening, and this is Hoops Hype signing out now.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.